many of you are completely done with your Christmas shopping? How many of you were completely done with your Christmas shopping 3 months ago? There's maybe two people and you can leave now. But I wonder, though, if you have your Christmas present ready for Jesus. It is his birthday, after all, right? And thousands and thousands of churches, just like ours, during Christmas time, give a sort of birthday gift to Jesus, as it were, by giving a gift for the cause of international missions. At churches like ours, Southern Baptist churches like ours, we call our gift to international missions the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. And it's named after a woman in the 1800s, Lottie Moon, who was a missionary to China. And her life of sacrifice and life of courage has inspired thousands and thousands of people down through the years. The story of Lottie Moon, in fact, is on the back of your sermon notes if you want to read it later on this afternoon. I want to share a video that some of our missionaries have put together thanking our church and churches like ours for supporting the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering over the years. Now, some of the people you're going to see in the video, you'll see their faces, and other people, you'll see their faces blacked out, or you'll see the back of their bodies because they're serving in security-sensitive areas around the world. But let's take a look at what they have to say to us right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
For giving.
Thank you for your giving.
To the Lottie Moon Offering.
Toward Lottie Moon.
Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering.
But most importantly, due to your generosity, we've been able to share God's Word with those around us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Because you gave, I am able to access remote areas of Central Asia and explain the gospel with people God is already drawing to himself. With your help, we are bringing light to the dark places among unreached people groups.
Because of what you've given, it allows me to share this gospel with as many Central Asians as I can across London.
Your giving allows our organization to provide need for refugees and to give them hope.
Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering so that we can buy Bibles in Arabic that we use with our Discovery Bible study with non-believers.
Because of your generosity, African women are hearing stories from God's Word while henna is being drawn on their hands and arms.
And because of your giving, the life changes that we see through faith in Jesus Christ, that happens because of your gifts.
Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering and helping to provide this wonderful water filter here in northern Thailand.
Your giving allows me to continue with my medical license here in Ghana, where I can not only do surgeries, but also the patients have the opportunity to hear the gospel. So thank you.
Because of your giving, I'm able to speak to these 1,000 kids every Wednesday morning. Thank you.
Thank you, First Baptist Church.
Thank you, Faith Promise Church.
Thank you, Faith Baptist Church.
Thank you for giving to Lottie Moon.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Now, our International Mission Board has 3,800 missionaries in over 130 countries, and that's all possible because of this Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. Half of the International Mission Board's budget annually is supported by the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. Our IMB has, their latest report was from 2018. They're still collecting data for 2019, of course. And here's what they wrote for the 2018 year. 563,000 heard some portion of the gospel. 78,000 said yes to following Jesus after hearing the gospel. 53,000 followed their profession of faith in Jesus Christ with baptism. 85,000 indigenous leaders received pastoral and theological training. 14,000 new churches were started. And a great deal of it has to do with our support of our missionaries through the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. There's no better birthday present to Jesus than to support the work of getting the name of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus to people across the street and around the earth as well. So what will your gift to Jesus be this Christmas season? One of the best ways to answer that question is to look into the Bible at the first birthday presents that were brought to Jesus. I'm speaking about the gifts that men known as the Magi or the wise men brought to Jesus. Matthew tells us about this in the Gospel of Matthew. He said that men known as Magi or wise men, they brought gifts of gold and incense and myrrh to Jesus. And the figurines of these men are probably gracing your nativity set at home. But who were these men? And what was the meaning of these gifts that they brought to Jesus? And how can their gifts to Jesus inform us as we try to decide what we need to give to Jesus this Christmas season? I think Matthew chapter 2 will help us. Take a look at Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now skip down to verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, who were these strange men? Tradition and tall tales have it that they were three in number, that they were kings, and that their names were Melchior, Balthazar, and Gaspar. In fact, tradition and folk legend has even given us a description of these three men. Melchior, we are told, was a very old man with white hair and a long beard who brought the gold. And Gaspar is said to have been a young, beardless man of ruddy complexion, and he brought the frankincense. And the legends say Balthazar was a black man, heavy bearded, and he brought the myrrh. Now, of course, none of these elaborate details can be found anywhere within the Christmas story itself in the Bible. In the New Testament world, the word magi was used to speak of particularly men who tried to figure out the future and tried to figure out what was going on through divination and through astrology and through ancient wisdom books. One evening, an unusual star appeared in the night sky. And to men like the Magi, who believed that events in the sky portended things that were going to happen on Earth, they said they felt that this needed to be investigated. Now, we're not told in the Bible, so we don't know exactly why they put two and two together and saw this particularly bright star and assumed it was a king of the Jews that had been born. Maybe they put together some of their astrological superstitions, and maybe they pieced together bits and pieces of scripture portions that they had, and they in some way drew the conclusion that a king of the Jews had been born. And so they went to where they assumed a new king of the Jews would have been born, in the capital city of Jerusalem. When they got there, they did not find the new baby king, but they did find Old Testament scholars. And those Old Testament scholars were asked, "Where is this prophesied king of the Jews to be born?" And they said the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. That's what the scriptures say. And so the Magi went on their way to Bethlehem. Now, I want to hit the pause button right at this moment. It's not the point of this message today, but don't you think it's interesting that none of those Old Testament scholars followed the wise men into Bethlehem after having these strange men show up and say, "Where is the King of the Jews born? We have seen a star and we want to come and worship him." And all they did was answer a Bible trivia question. They just said, "Well, according to the prophecies, he's to be born in Bethlehem. Have a nice trip." Now, like I said, it's not the main message that I want to share here, but it is an encouragement and a warning. It is an encouragement for some of us in here. You might be far from Christmas, and you may still find the message of Christmas, or you may be near to Christmas. You may be in Sunday school every single Sunday, sing all the songs without having to look up on the screen or reach for a hymn book. You may be near to Christmas and still miss it. It all depends on whether you're going to act on what little or what lot you know. Now, that's an encouraging word or a word of warning to all of us in here. But for my point today, what I want us to do is focus on what happened next. Because once the star had led them to the place where Jesus could be found, it says they worshiped him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. Now, is there anything in their gifts to Jesus that can instruct us and inform us as we try to decide what our gift to Jesus should be to international missions this year? I think there's three things that we need to pay attention to here. So write these down on your sermon notes as we come to them. First of all, our gift to Jesus should represent the best of who we are. Our gift to Jesus should represent the best of who we are. The Magi's gifts represented the best of who they were. Gold and incense and myrrh. It may sound like odd gifts to give to a baby. You show up at a baby shower today and what you get is a baby monitor for the nursery or extra diapers. You're going to need those. Maybe some blankets, maybe some pajamas with the little footies and booties on the bottom of it. I mean, that's what you give to a baby and to the parents at a baby shower today. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh sound like strange gifts to give to a baby. And like I mentioned earlier, legend will often come in and sort of rush in and fill the vacuum that history provides for us. And I already mentioned that the legend is that there were three wise men. We're not told that in Scripture. We assume that there were three because there were three gifts. But there could have been two wise men that brought this collection of gifts. There could have been 20 wise men that brought this collection of gifts. But we assume there were three because of the three gifts. Not only that, over the years, people have kind of come up with what those gifts must have meant, as if they had some sort of prophetic meaning in the giving of these gifts. Some of you remember singing maybe in the past the Christmas carol, We Three Kings. It came out during the time of America's Civil War. It has five stanzas. The first stanza kicks everything off by introducing the theme. The fifth stanza wraps everything up by concluding the theme. But stanzas 2, 3, and 4 each talk about the three gifts that are brought and the symbolism or the meaning that many people have believed that those gifts meant were meant to communicate. And so the gold was brought forward, and it was understood by many people as a prophecy of the kingly character of Jesus, because gold was fit for a king. And then incense was meant to present the divine nature of Jesus, because incense was lifted up in worship in a temple. And then myrrh was meant to present the fact that Jesus had come to die, because myrrh was a spice that was often packed around a body at death. Now, all of this is just too fancy for what Matthew really meant when he was communicating what these wise men had brought. These gifts represented the finest gifts of their time. These gifts were treasured. These gifts were envied. These gifts were admired. And these were the gifts that these guys brought, because it represented the very best of who they were. Now, how does that apply to us today when we come to thinking about what we need to bring to Jesus as a gift this Christmas time for the cause of international missions? Our gift needs to represent the very best of who we are. One rule of thumb that I follow when I think about what to do with the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is our family for a long, long time has decided that we are going to at least match the most expensive gift that we're giving to anybody else in the family. We're going to at least match that when it comes to our Lottie Moon Christmas offering gift. And so if it's $550 gift, I haven't received that yet, but if it's $550 gift, then that's what we're going to have. If it's a $200 gift, that's what we're going to give to Lottie Moon as a $200 gift. So I think that's a good rule of thumb that all of us ought to follow, that what we're willing to give to other people and our gladness to have a relationship with them is what we need to be thinking about when it comes to giving a gift to Jesus, so that his name and his worth might be communicated around the world as well. Here's a second thing to write down. Our gift to Jesus should represent our understanding of who Jesus is. Our gift to Jesus should represent our understanding of who Jesus is. So it should represent the best of who we are, but it should also represent who we think Jesus is. Now, this is true when we look at the Magi's gifts. Now, I don't think their gifts, as I've already mentioned, have any symbolic or prophetic meaning to them, but their gifts certainly were items meant for a person of nobility, a person of importance. They brought the finest of who they were because they were assuming they were going to visit somebody who was worthy of it. Whether we give to missions causes, how much we give to missions causes will communicate how seriously we believe Jesus can change the world. My Jesus can take shame away from people and give them a forgiven heart. My Jesus can mend broken marriages. My Jesus can heal broken and wounded bodies. My Jesus can cause people as they're near death to enter into that death experience assured and confident because Jesus is going to be there to meet them. If you believe in that kind of Jesus, if you believe that that kind of Jesus can make a difference in somebody else's life, then it will be reflected in what you give to see to it that that message gets not only across the street here, but across the sea and around the world. There's a third thing that we can learn about gift giving from the Magi. So write this down. What prompts us to give and how God uses what is given are often different things. What prompts us to give and how God uses what is given are often different things. You know, we're not told whatever happened to the gifts the Magi gave, but I have an inkling. The Bible tells us shortly after this that Joseph took Mary and the baby Jesus, and they went as refugees, fleeing from Bethlehem, into North Africa, into Egypt. And there they were kept safely away from the madness of King Herod. You might remember the story. We didn't go over this portion of it in Matthew chapter 2, but when the Magi showed up in Jerusalem and said, "Where's the baby king that has been born?" Herod kind of raised his eyebrows and said, "Well, somebody tell them so I can know too." And he said to the Magi, "When you find him in Bethlehem, tell me where he is so I too can go and worship him." But everybody knows that that's not indeed the motivation that King Herod had. He didn't want to come and worship Jesus. He wanted to come and get rid of Jesus. He was an incredibly paranoid man who had numerous members of his own family at various points put to death because he felt threatened by them eventually taking over his throne. And so when he heard about this baby king of the Jews that was born, he wanted to go and get rid of Jesus, destroy Jesus. The Magi had been warned to not return to Herod, but go back home by another route. And when Herod realized he had been fooled, you know the story. It's a tragic part of the Christmas story. He sent his soldiers into Bethlehem and ordered that all baby boys under the age of two be executed, be killed. He would rather have all of them be killed then have the threat of one of them rise up and eventually replace him on the throne. Well, Joseph was warned about this in a dream, and so he took Mary and the baby, and they escaped and went into Egypt. And how did they pay for that trip? Now think about this. This family was a poor family. The Bible tells us that they were so poor when it came to offer the sacrifice on the eighth day after Jesus was born, they offered just two turtle doves. That was all they could do, was offer those up instead of the more expensive gifts that other people could handle. They were a poor family. And Joseph was a carpenter, which means that when he moved down into Egypt for that stretch of time, he had to reestablish his reputation. He had to establish his contacts before any sort of income started coming in from his work. How did they sustain themselves during that time where there was that gold and frankincense and myrrh? That wasn't the reason that the Magi gave the gifts so that they could go off into exile, but that was the way that God used the gifts that they gave so that the Holy Family might be taken care of when they were there in North Africa. Today it's the same. In our weekly giving to this church, we give as an act of worship. We don't give because somebody's up pleading for gifts to be given so that, you know, the budget can be sustained all the time. We give as an act of worship. We've been worshiping through song. We've been worshiping through carefully opening up His Word and studying it. And if worship is complete, we also give a portion of ourselves over to God in tithes and offerings. But the way that God uses that gift can be very different. God uses that gift of ours to buy mundane things like fluorescent light bulbs in the Sunday school classroom, or copy paper for the copying machine, or little pencils for the pew rack so you can fill out the connection cards at the end of things. And all these various things are, that's not the reason that you gave that gift. The reason you gave that gift was for worship. But that's the way God uses that gift that you gave. And it's true when it comes to international missions as well. When we give a gift to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we're giving as an act of worship. giving the best of who we are to the best of what we know Jesus is, so that the message of Jesus might get around the world. And then God uses that gift that was given for such an exalted reason. He uses that gift for such mundane things, like putting gasoline in a missionary's car, or putting airline tickets in a missionary's hand so he or she might travel, putting toner in a missionary's copier so that he might send things back to the United States. That wasn't the reason that you gave, but that's the way that that gift is actually being used. So the reason why we give and the way that God uses that gift are often very different things. You know, Charles Spurgeon, who was a Baptist pastor in the 1800s, said something about this. He said, regarding these gifts that the missionaries or the gifts that the Magi gave, he said in the book of in his commentary on the book of Matthew, he lifted up this prayer: Lord, thou shalt have my worship and my gifts, for thou art the sole monarch of my soul, and I will aid thy missionary cause, that when thou goest into Africa with thy gospel, my gifts may go with thee. This season we do not give to enable missionaries to go overseas. Not really. We give because we want to express our love to Jesus. But God in His sovereign plan uses those gifts so that we might enable missionaries to be supported around the world. So these are things to keep in mind as you consider your gift to Jesus this Christmas season. This may be your first year to give to the Light of Moon Christmas offering. You may be a young adult who's never had that responsibility before. Your family always had that. Now you've got income coming in and you need to think about what your gift needs to be. Maybe you've never been challenged by this before. You've never been a part of a church that's had any sort of Christmas offering for international missions, and this is your first year. Or for others of us, many of us in here, this will be yet another year across the decades of giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. But we need to pay attention to these things. Our gift should represent the best of who we are. Our gift should represent who we think Jesus is. And God will take our gift given in worship, and He will use it to meet the needs of missionaries around the world. Well, I want to lead us in a word of prayer as we get ready to apply what we've been saying here. But before I lead us in a word of prayer, I want to mention a couple of things about how we're doing things at the end of the service at this point. The first thing that I want to mention is that when I lead us in a word of prayer, that's an invitation time. That's an invitation time for you to make your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, an invitation time for you to recommit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a holy time. That's a sacred time. We need to make sure that we're not leaving our seats during the invitation time, during the time when I'm leading people on how to pray to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't a time for us to get up on the stage and get our instruments in place, or get in place so we can pass the offering plate around, or leave early so we can be the first one in the Sunday school classroom to welcome everybody when they come in. There's a time for that, but not during the prayer time. This is a time for me to lead you in how to pray a prayer to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, or recommit yourself to Him. And all of us need that. One of the reasons that we need to stay in our seats is that there may be a time where you yourself need to pray that recommitment prayer. And so that is an important part of our service. And then after that prayer time, what I'm going to do is every single week, I'm going to ask every one of us to fill out a connection card. We haven't been doing that except for the last 2 weeks. And guess what we discovered the last 2 weeks? We had a lot more people who were guests of our church who filled out the connection card. Why? Because they looked around the room and they saw all of us filling out that connection card. And so in just a moment, I'm going to be asking you to do that as well. Everybody, every single week, reaching for a connection card, finding a pen or a pencil, filling out just your name, just your email address, so that everybody around us can see us doing it and participate in that process. So when I give instructions on the connections card, that too is not a time for us to leave our seats and get arranged in other sort of places. I know that some of us do need to leave early to get ourselves situated in our Sunday school classrooms before anybody else arrives, or to get ourselves up on stage and our instruments ready. I know that we need to have time to do that, and I want to give you time to do that. When I ask the ushers to come forward to pass the offering plates, that's a good time for everybody to be moving at that time who needs to. So let's let's keep that in mind as we move through these small changes that we're making in our service at the end of our service every single week. So, the invitation time. I want to encourage those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to give through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering so that the message of Jesus that has meant so much to you will get out to all the world. This may be your first year to do something like this. I want to lead you in a prayer for you to make a commitment to God to think through what you need to give. But others of us in here, you're not a believer yet. You haven't opened up your heart to the Lord Jesus. You're here because somebody invited you. You're here because the message of Christmas in some way has drawn you in, maybe in some sentimental way. But you haven't responded to the message of Jesus yet. I want to lead you in a prayer so that you might do that today as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. For those of us who are believers, maybe you need to pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I thank you for saving me, and I ask, Lord, that you would help me to make it a priority to support causes that get that message of salvation out to others. Give me wisdom when it comes to knowing what I need to give and how I might need to participate in this Christmas offering this year so that you would be glorified by my gift to you and that you would use that gift for all the practical purposes of getting your name into people's hearts around the world. With our heads still bowed in prayer, some of us need to make a commitment to Jesus today. I want to lead you in a prayer that you can pray so that the Jesus of Christmas might become the Savior and the Lord of your life. Maybe you need to pray something like this. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for coming at Christmas time and being a wonderful teacher and doing wonderful things, but supremely, Lord, I know that you came to this earth to die on a cross to take away sin. And I pray that you would take away my sin now. Give me a clean heart inside. Help me to understand how to follow you. Help me understand more about who you are all the remaining days of my life. Heavenly Father, now we lift up these prayers to you as new believers and as recommitted believers during this Christmas season. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.